And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a chat about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're a skeptic and still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So we do a lot of that on this show. We share the Word of God and we hope and pray that God will open your hearts to receive the Word and also give you eyes to see and ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please check that out. We've got some videos on there as well. And please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you no matter what you're going through. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Piedmont Master Gardener's latest Garden Basics free workshop will be held on Saturday, September 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Trinity Episcopal Church. Pre-registration is required by emailing your name to info@piedmontmastergardeners.org. The Southern Steel Classic Car Club and North Garden Volunteer Fire Department invite you to the 5th Annual Rods and Reels Car Show on September 15th at 10 a.m. at Cutright Lake on Route 29 South. On Saturday, September 29th, Women's Health Awareness Celebration, Stay Healthy, Be Happy, Be Active, will be held at Mount Zion First African Baptist Church from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. There will be free health screenings and women's health topics will be discussed. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. Not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have my good friend, Craig Kohlberg. He's back with us, and Craig, I appreciate you coming on the show. Love having you on this program.
Thanks, Jeff. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, and so I wanted to talk about the first thing on this show is this week, you and I had the opportunity to attend the Celebration of Life for Tana Taylor, the bride of our mutual good friend Gary Taylor, and Tana had an incredible impact on this community, and I wanted to just start there, since that's so fresh, and talk about maybe any takeaways that you received from that wonderful celebration of life at the Paramount Theater for Tana Taylor.
Yeah, the obvious one was how many people were there. What a testimony to her and the life that she led, and the joy that she brought to so many people in the short number of years that she had. It was a wonderful outpouring of the community here. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, she was born and raised in Charlottesville and lived her whole life here. It was cut short, obviously, by her illness. But boy, she lived life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. And she had a big impact on her family, her husband. They had a really, really sweet marriage, as everybody could see. Mm-hmm. And the three girls, what a beautiful testimony they are to their mom. Mm,
yes. 54 years old, cancer, and but as you said, their marriage, Gary and Tana Taylor, that really jumped out at me as what a sweet marriage that they had, how they had each other's backs, and particularly when Tana was ill, how Gary really stepped in. And I think you know, just listening to the service yesterday, I felt like Gary, in a way, became a role model of how to love your wife well, you know, in for better or worse, in good times, sickness and in health. You know, he stepped right into that, and he became kind of the default poster boy for me on how to do that.
Right. I think it was a great example of sort of the complementary nature that each person brings to a marriage. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt that each of us in our own marriages has what I would call wonderful idiosyncrasies, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that they did as well. But the reality of the how they lived life together, especially in the difficulty of the last year or so, it's a wonderful testimony to the possibility of what can happen mm-hmm. in marriage. It was very beautiful.
I thought of something else. It really just popped in my mind right at this moment, Craig, and we're talking about the service for Tana Taylor, the celebration of life that was this week at the Paramount Theater. I'm gonna go into the scriptures for you here, Craig. In one of the Gospels, maybe more than one, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and I think they were trying to trick him, which they were normally trying to do. They were trying to find mm-hmm. a way to get rid of him. And so one of the Pharisees comes up and says to Jesus, "What is the greatest law?" And all of the, I'm paraphrasing, all of the 613 Jewish laws, what's the greatest? And Jesus answers in this way. He goes to the Old Testament. He goes to Deuteronomy. He starts with what Moses quoted, what I believe the Hebrew scholars today would call the Shema, which is love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So all of a sudden, the Pharisees are saying, okay, he's got it. But then he adds to it. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the 613 laws hinge on these two. And he says, and the second is as great as the first. And so what happens for me when I listen to that story in the Bible is I see this foreshadowing of the cross. And let me go a little bit further on this, because if you picture the vertical beam of the cross being love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay. So for me, I'm making it personal now. For me, I've had that. I get that part. That's me and God. And oftentimes in my life, I've walked with that vertical beam of the cross. But then the uncomfortable part for me is when he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now picture that is the horizontal beam of the cross. So now we've got the vertical beam and the horizontal beam. And what the reason I'm thinking of that passage from that Jesus, quote by Jesus, and Tana Taylor, what does that mean? She had an amazing ability to love people. And it was, you know, to the point where, it's not the right word saying that I'm envious of that, but I was maybe admiring of her ability to love people. And what you heard in this service for Tana Taylor is how she loved her husband, how she loved her children, but oh, how she loved her friends. And you had friend after friend after friend after friend claim her as a best friend. And it was wonderful. And my good friend Jenny Gardner, there were many that spoke, but Jenny Gardner gave a beautiful message about being her best friend and go-to gal. And for me, so I sat there and I'm listening to this and I was like, well, that is the perfect example of how to live that passage. Does that resonate with you?
Well, you raised the question of who is our neighbor. And to Tana, obviously, she had a very wide, as you say, horizontal range of friendships there, which was, again, a wonderful testimony. But it's a great question, too. And I am reminded that Jesus was speaking to groups of people outside of the Judeo world for the first time in a way that included them in God's kingdom. In that, I mean, you know, he crossed the gender boundary.
Yes.
In ways that were totally remarkable in that culture. He crossed the racial boundary as well. Again, in ways that were just remarkable for that culture. And by doing so, he defined who your neighbor is. And that it was no longer an exclusive group of people. It was the world. And that's a big undertaking on our part. But I think, you know, sometimes I can be overwhelmed by what am I doing in this world and what am I doing for my neighbor? But, you know, I think God as well calls us just to be light and salt wherever we are at whatever time it is. And that alone is sometimes difficult, but indeed, that's where the joy is as well.
And it takes a degree of patience to do that. And there was a reference to 1 Corinthians 13 yesterday, which, you know, I love that passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never fails. But it's that, you know, I always, or at least recently, zero in on the word love is patient, which, darn it, I am not. And when I hear that and when I see the celebration of life for Tana Taylor, I think about her patience and her ability to love her neighbor and so forth. That all starts to kind of come together and make a little bit of sense.
Right. I think one of the beautiful things about the ceremony yesterday was when they told the story of when she had essentially been in a coma-like state for several weeks, and she comes out of this coma, and her first words at that point were, "I am blessed." And that is the heart speaking in a way that reflects the kindness that she had to those around her. I thought it was just remarkable that the first thing that would be said was that, rather than, "Oh, well, where am I?" or, "Oh, what are you doing here?" But it was simply, "I am blessed." And I came home with that and just dwelled on that and thought that that was a beautiful, what a way to live.
And her daughter Hillary, what an amazing testimony she gave, and really stood strong for her mother. I was really touched by the daughter speaking, and that was it was the real deal.
It was the real deal.
All right, this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have Craig Kohlberg as our guest on our show today. But as we head to the break, Craig, I want to ask you, because one of my favorite people, who happens to be your son Nathan, was the musician at Tana Taylor's Celebration of Life, and I was blown away by his talent and his ability to just step into that moment. How'd that feel as a dad?
Well, it was a beautiful moment. I felt privileged to see him up on the stage and the way that he put all of his heart and soul into that music.
Yes.
You know, he didn't have much advance notice, a couple of days, and I could see him working very diligently on this in his studio. And It was great. It was really good to see. Now, he's a good friend of some of the daughters. And very kindly, they had asked if he would sing at the memorial service, at the celebration of life service. And he agreed to. And my goodness, the fact that Tana loved music so much, and that the fact that Nathan could be there to give the gift of music to everybody who was in the audience was really remarkable.
And for me, I'm touched by, because it would really, I'm touched and inspired by your son Nathan, in him saying yes to the invitation, because it's been very easy to say no, I'm not ready, or I'm not available, or I can't do it, or that's not enough time. It's been very easy, and most people, I would guess, would probably say no, because that's a really big, gigantic moment. But Nathan steps into it, and which in and of itself, I think, is a form of love, to, you know, sacrificial love, is that, you know, I have this gift, and I'm going to give it to you, and I hope it helps in your moment of pain.
Right, and I love that word, giving a gift. He did give a gift to people. The gift that he's been given in his ability to sing and play the piano and other instruments as well. You know, I can speak for him in the sense that he wants to give that gift away.
Yes.
And so it's a beautiful thing, and he had a wonderful opportunity, and the Lord gave him the strength to do so in front of that audience yesterday.
I was really proud of him. For those of you that don't know, Nathan Kohlberg has been on this show. If you go to everydayfaithradio.com, go to our website. We have a wonderful YouTube video of him recording the show and playing some music. Fabulous musician, and there's great things coming up in the future for Nathan. He's got quite a career going now.
He does, yeah. Can I give a plug?
Please.
He'll be at the Jefferson Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. 7 o'clock. 7:30, I think.
Awesome. Proud of him. Way to go. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of our interview with Craig Kohlberg. Please stay with us.
Join us September 8th at Walnut Creek Park for the Guardians Gauntlet Obstacle Course Race. The race benefits the Albemarle County Police Foundation. GuardiansGauntlet.com. Use code JOETHOMAS for $15 off at GuardiansGauntlet.com. Thanks to presenting sponsors, Virginia National Bank and Sentara Martha Jefferson Hospital, and to L.L. Bean for providing kayak packages for the winners. Join us on September 8th at Walnut Creek Park for the Guardians Gauntlet Obstacle Course Race.
News and sports supported by VirginiaStateParks.gov. Camping, festivals, swimming, hiking, biking, and boating. At Virginia State Parks, you don't have to choose. You can have it all. Visit VirginiaStateParks.gov and start planning your vacation today.
And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program we have Craig Kohlberg, my good friend, man of God, local entrepreneur. Thanks for being with us, Craig. I want to ask you about your summer. Give me a couple of highlights of your summer and anything you've learned this summer.
Well, this summer has been very different than any other summer of my whole life, actually. I decided months ago to build a vineyard, and so I've been putting in roughly 12 acres of vines. That's 14,000 vines, by the way. I had no idea it would be that many, and they all grow pretty much at the same speed, and they all require certain things to be done at the same time. So it's been a handful, to say the least.
It's somewhat biblical. We got a lot of the vine references in the gospel.
The spirituality of a vineyard is extensive throughout the Bible, start to finish. Really, it's amazing.
Do you feel some of that when you're? And of course, your property is, it's kind of a spiritual moment to be on your property up on the Blue Ridge Parkway, beautiful property, and now growing grapes.
Well, it is a blessing to be in a beautiful place, for sure. I do certainly think about it in the sense that it's the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And anytime you're farming, I think you do think of that, the Garden of Eden. When you're out there on a tractor, when you're out there mowing, and it's just evokes that type of thinking within myself that this is the Garden of Eden. It's not the Garden of Eden, but it's my little Garden of Eden that I'm given a chance to take care of for some period of time. And I think I'd like to make it a slightly more beautiful place than when I first received it, the beginning of the stewardship time of it.
Nice. Now, realizing that I'm a pretty suburban guy, I don't do much farm work or work on large tracts of land. Tell me about your experience this summer where you sort of learned a little thing or two about the farm world.
Well, I learned a lot very quickly, in fact. One is that there's a lot of physical work that goes into farming itself, and that's been great. That's been a joy for a person who spent a lifetime at a desk, 34 years. Being outside and working like this is a gift, but it also comes with some issues that I didn't anticipate. And the biggest one I didn't anticipate this year was which ended up being a pretty significant accident, was this. Because we're putting in the vineyard, it requires a lot of wire and trellis wire. And trellis wire gets delivered in these very large spools. And a number of them were just sitting on the ground early in, about 3 months ago. And the grass was growing pretty ferociously at that time, and I decided that I should move those so that I could mow the grass there. I was on my tractor at the time, and I thought, the easiest way to move these would be to just push them with a front loader, which I did. And what I didn't realize was the physics of what was happening at that time, which is to say the two of them started rolling down the hill. Two of them were laying flat on their sides, so they didn't roll. Well, I stopped the tractor, put it in the brake on and everything. That was no problem. But I started running after these wire bales that are running, going down the hill. And they were heading right for the ravine. And all I could think is, my goodness, I'm going to lose these things unless I catch them. Well, one of them was too far out in front of me. I didn't catch it at all. But I got up. I caught the other one. And I pushed it with my hand as I was running alongside of it, and it didn't move. I just figured at that point it would just need a harder push. So I took my left hand and put it across my body, and I took my right hand and tried to push it again, and I slipped. And I became a speed bump for this wire coil, this cable, and it ran right over my chest.
Oh.
And I was stunned and in shock at that point. I found out shortly thereafter that wire cable weighed 500 pounds. And it was all prepackaged and ready to be put up as trellis wire. So, nobody plans on having an accident. That's the definition of an accident. And I had a major one, and I was fortunate. Honestly, I've thought about it 100 times. It didn't run over my head. It ran over my chest, and it broke my ribs. But those ribs were there to protect my organs. And when I went to the emergency room, first up on the CAT scan at that moment, and they, aside from a very slightly bruised kidney, I had no ruptured spleen, no punctured lungs. It was really a blessing. I was very, very fortunate, and Tell you, you value life a little bit more after you have an accident like that. It easily, and others have said, could have killed you.
Yeah.
Could have maimed you. It could have changed your life quite significantly. But it did not. I have spoken with a number of farm people who have spent their lives around farming, and they just say, "Ooh, you never, ever, ever chase anything that's rolling."
So just let it go.
Just let it go. Let it go. There's always a machine that can pull it out of the ravine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right on. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have my friend Craig Kohlberg. Jeff Gaffney is your host today, and I'm switching gears, but I do enjoy your farm story. Let me go back to, if any of our listeners are tuning in today, they don't really know the show, don't really know what they're listening to, but they're listening. And they do not yet have faith. What would you say to somebody who's kind of going through the motions of life? Maybe they've thought about faith, maybe they haven't, but they've never really been able to get their arms around this Jesus guy and really kind of embrace the Christian lifestyle. What would you say to somebody who's just tuning in today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, a couple of things. One is that there's a lot of talk sometimes about the peace of God. Well, what does that mean? I have often thought that, sometimes in my early walk with faith, that the peace of God was just the absence of conflict. That would be a nice sort of steady state to live in, no conflict, and you just be able to sort of rest in that. But I've really come to learn that the peace of God is the place where life flourishes. And the place where life can flourish is in a place where we can have our minds and our hearts set on things that are true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and lovely. And that's what God offers us. So when we talk about the peace of God, we talk about something that is really a much deeper thought, has much deeper meaning than just the absence of conflict.
That's a good word. You know, one thing I've learned this summer, I've mentioned this to our listeners, we had my good friend Conley Gillum on the show a few weeks ago. Conley, a full-time ministry with an organization called the Navigators, and just an awesome woman. And she talked about, she's writing a book, and one of the things that she talked about on the show was that there's this perception that in order to come to God, in order to come to Jesus, that you need to kind of clean yourself up first and then get yourself ready, and then he'll be ready for you once you're ready and clean. And really her thesis, which I just loved, was that you're never more eligible for an encounter with Jesus than when your life is actually a disaster and things are really, really going poorly. And so if that's where you find yourself, any of our listeners today, find yourself, just realize that you don't have to turn and get yourself all clean before you turn to Jesus. Right now, congratulations, right now is your Jesus moment. And if you just cry out to him, he'll answer.
Now is the time.
Well, this is Everyday Faith Radio, and this has been fun having you on the show, Craig Kohlberg.
Thanks, Jeff.
I want to say to you, to your family, to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. We'll see you all next week. Come restore and make us new.